From the studios of Boise State Public Radio, you're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Samantha Wright, filling in for Jim Agudat. The StoryCorps Mobile Tour is back in Boise, continuing its mission to preserve and share humanity's stories by recording interviews that Idahoans have with their family and friends. And the Idaho StoryCorps Project is also back, bringing us excerpts of your stories that were selected and produced by Boise State Public Radio. Today we wanted to share with you this story from Thomas George, who sat down with his daughter, Hannah George Sharp. Hannah asked her father about his life as an alcoholic and when he made the decision to stop drinking.
I would start drinking at 8:30 in the morning as soon as your mom left for work, but I'd have a beer. I'd only have one an hour, so I never really got drunk, but I maintained that level I needed to not really kind of be in the shakes or anything. And it went on like that for years, and I didn't think your mom knew anything about it. But at the time, we had gotten you enrolled in a Montessori school, and we couldn't really afford the full tuition for it. So they worked out a deal where I could clean the school at night, and that would cover the tuition. And I really hated doing that. I resented it. I'd be up there cleaning while the other parents were having a parent meeting, and I was the employee, you know, emptying trash cans. And I went up there one night, and I sat there stewing about it. I stopped and bought a six-pack on the way, and I sat in the parking lot, drank the entire six-pack, and then drove home. And I walked up, stumbled up the stairs, and I walked in. Your mom was in bed, and she was watching Northern Exposure. And I said something to her, and she said, "Are you drunk?" And whatever reason, I just blurted it out of my mouth. I said, "I'm an alcoholic." And I knew it wasn't sustainable at that point in time. I hated what I was doing. I was scared that I had kids I was responsible for and I wasn't able to take care of them. Your mom knew long before that, and I only found out in sobriety that she had already talked to her sister about taking the kids and leaving. But I thought I got rid of everything, and I don't remember what day of the week it was, but it was probably a Saturday or something because I called up an AA number and I found out there was a meeting in Elkhart, and that was it. November 28th, 1994, your mom said to me that night, "You have any beer in the house?" And I had it hidden under the seat of the minivan. I had it hidden in a toolbox in the garage. I had it hidden in a golf bag in the garage. And I went and we started dumping them all down the drain. And as I was pouring the last one down the drain, I just diverted it, put it in my mouth and poured it all down my throat. It was running down my neck. And your mom had this horrified look on her face. And she said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "If I'm never going to drink again, I'm going to remember my last beer." And that was the last time I ever had a beer.
And how long have you been sober as of today?
Continuously since November 29th, 1994, which is a bit over 27 and a half years. I'll be 28 years in November.
What has been the best part about living a sober life for the past 25 years?
My family. My kids, my wife, my marriage. I wouldn't have any of that. I wouldn't have any of that if I wasn't able to maintain sobriety. Your mom, as you know, is no nonsense. And no doubt that if I were to start drinking again, she would tell me to leave. She doesn't need any of that nonsense in her life. I would lose my kids, you know? The thought of losing my kids really bothered me. And I got to work on myself. I got to, you know, be a better person and care about other people that I didn't care about when I was drinking, you know? It was always about the party, the good time. Even at the end, when there were no more good times and I wasn't going out drinking, I wasn't having fun, it was just drinking to not be sick is what it was. I couldn't have done that, you know, and then getting sober. I was eventually able to quit smoking because I realized that was bad for my health. And now I'm going to get to be an old man and a grandfather.
I just want to say thank you for sharing. I know some of that was so hard to talk about, but I think it's really, really important to talk about. I think sobriety is a good story for other people to hear. To hear what a sober life could be like if they don't have one. But I would say I think it's the thing, especially now as a parent, that I admire most about you is that you were willing to do anything to keep your kids. And I think there's probably a lot of people in the same situation. So that's why I wanted to talk about it. So thank you.
Thank you, Hannah, for asking me. I'm glad I got to be able to share that with you. If I have a minute, you were actually the immediate trigger for my realizing I needed to go to AA because it was one morning I woke up really hungover. You were probably two, a little over two. James was an infant, and your mom left for work, and I was sitting on the couch in the family room just sick, and you wanted to play, and I asked you to go play by yourself for a little while. I didn't feel good, and you walked away, and the next thing I know, you had gone in the refrigerator, and you had gotten a can of beer out, and you walked over and handed it to me, and I was terrified for two reasons. My immediate fear was, oh, my God, what if she does this in front of her mother? Her mother's going to wonder why. And then my other fear, I thought, oh, my God, what am I teaching my child? And that really set the stage, and it was only days later that I had my final drunk and got sober, or started walking that path. So thank you.
That was Thomas George and his daughter Hannah, who recorded their conversation at StoryCorps, a national initiative to record and collect stories of everyday people. Excerpts were selected and produced by Boise State Public Radio.
Gather round, you people, and I sing to you about the minstrel band. All children in their witches' hats, painting pictures with the pipes of Pan. Ah, the young boy and his sister played a tune upon a whistle made of tin. They led me through the flower garden, laughing at the postman's stubby chin. And in my dizzy stupor, I was trying hard to forfeit all I'd known and listen to this music that could swirl me in a magic all its own. Or somewhere in the distance, you and I had fought the monster to a draw. In those days of books and wine, falling, getting, grasping at a straw. And out upon a highway, we had journeyed far to find the mystic smile.